everybody. Welcome to I'm Not Adam West with Adam West, a podcast where we talk about people that have famous names and the famouser people whose names they have. My name's Davis Buchanan, and I'm joined by, as you might have guessed, Adam West.
Hey, how's it going?
Dude, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, man.
Cool. Well, now that we're both here, why don't we tell these good people what we're doing, what we're here for?
Yeah, so my name, obviously, is Adam West, and for those who don't know who Adam West is, Adam West was a movie actor known commonly for his role as the Batman from the TV series. So, I mean, my entire life I've gotten this. This is, from our parents' age, he was a very iconic actor. And so, growing up, I always heard everyone kind of comment on my name. Like, your name is Adam West, that's so cool.
You know? Right.
And so, yeah, so we kind of wanted to see who else out there has similar stories to me and has famous names in themselves.
Right. So essentially what we're doing here, what we want to do is we want to look at famous people's names, names that everybody recognizes, names that you would know, you would hear on the street, be able to say who that was, and see who else out there has that same name and maybe isn't getting the recognition they deserve because they're overshadowed by the more famous version of their name. So my good friend Adam West here, he's awesome. He's a great videographer. He's a great board game enthusiast. He's a wonderful friend. But with all of that, he's not well known because every time he meets somebody, I'm assuming every time you meet somebody, they automatically associate you with the actor from the 60s, right?
Yeah, which, you know, growing up, I always thought that that was, could be a little annoying. But as I've kind of grown up, I've learned to really appreciate the name. And I'm sure other people can have similar stories about this. But, you know, I'm the one who meets people at a party who never has to worry if my name is forgotten. Everyone knows, oh, that's Adam West. And it's easy to remember. So I've kind of gotten fond of my name being synonymous with an actor of such.
Yeah, and you never have to worry about, you don't have to worry about icebreakers either, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, it is awkward when I meet the person, and you know, this is happening more and more, is you meet the person who doesn't know who Adam West is, and so I can no longer assume that that is a thing.
That's fair.
People younger than us, they don't tend to know who he is.
A question for you, Adam. I want to know, like, do you have any stories you can remember or like funny moments of when you introduced yourself to somebody and they either had a great reaction or a question if that's your real name? Like, I want to know if there's been any funny moments associated with the fact that your name is Adam West.
Well, I have two pretty good ones. I was dating this girl for a while, and this was kind of the start of the relationship. So, and we were talking on the phone, and I can't remember how it got brought up, but I just started talking about my name and just how happy I was that I was named Adam West. And so this goes on for like 20 minutes. I tell her, you know, like, well, I like it. And I guess in the conversation, I never mentioned that I'm like Adam West is a famous person.
Right.
And so she doesn't know who he is and just thinks I'm this big arrogant guy who like loves talking about himself. And so we got a good laugh afterwards whenever I expected a response, and she was just kind of deadpan, like, why are you like this? So, but yeah, then big fan of podcasts, obviously, and I've gotten to see some live show or live tapings of them, and so I always kind of get to use my name in those cases. If I like ask a question, I always like to see,
yeah, that's good,
you know, what the audience will say or something like that. So
that's awesome, dude. Now that we've kind of established who we are, why we're talking about what we're talking about, what do you say we jump into some of these famous people and their names?
Yeah, let's do it. Who do we got first?
First up, we're going to start by looking at the various and sundry Michael Jordans that there are in the world. So Michael Jordan, for those of you who don't know, I think probably the very few of you, Michael Jordan is famous to us as a basketball player. He played college basketball at the University of North Carolina, which actually, shout out, that's where my wife went to school. So I'm a fan, but he ended up playing in the NBA. He played most notably what people would recognize him as for the Chicago Bulls, and sort of made the number 23 famous. That's his number. So Michael Jordan, famous basketball player. A lot of people say he's the best that ever lived. We'll see, I guess, at the end of LeBron's career if that's still true. But I'm sure I have a little ways to go there. But Michael Jordan, several accomplishments. He had, you know, was the NBA Finals MVP 6 times. He was in 14 NBA All-Star games. He got the Most Valuable Player of the NBA Award 5 times. I mean, he is for sure Hall of Famer. He is the best that's ever done it, a lot of people will say. So that's Michael Jordan. We know him for basketball, but now Michael Jordan, neither of those names is super rare or super uncommon. So when you put them together, there are actually several Michael Jordans, not just limited to this basketball player. And so we want to talk about them and see if we can find anybody who is as deserving or maybe even more deserving of fame than...
Yeah, I think just right off the bat, one of the most known Michael Jordans out there is got to be Michael B. Jordan. I don't know if you know this guy, but he's an actor most known for his being Adonis Creed in the new Rocky movie Creed that came out.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he was in movies like Chronicle, and he also showed in Friday Night Lights, and I think he's the bad guy in the new Black Panther movie.
Okay, there you go.
So he's pretty well-known guy himself.
Okay, so you got Michael B. Jordan. So there's a few other Michael Jordans. There's a Michael Jordan who is a soccer goalkeeper for Chesterfield, which is an English soccer team. There's a Mike Jordan who's also British. He's actually a racing driver, so he does like race car driving in Britain, which I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I realized that Britain did race car driving. Like, I knew Formula One, but this is like the NASCAR of Britain is what it looks like.
Wow.
Which I thought they would be too highbrow, too posh to do that. Like, I guess I misunderstood Britain.
Yeah. I mean, they probably have, and just no one watches it. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So we have another Mike Jordan who is a baseball player in 1890. That's another Mike Jordan, another athlete Mike Jordan. So those are a few, but there's a couple that I want to kind of dig into a little bit more because I think they're awesome. Mm-hmm. I think they're super cool, and they've done some really fun stuff. So the first one I would love to talk about, there's a man named Michael Irwin Jordan. Now, Michael I. Jordan, he is a professor at the University of California at Berkeley. Currently, he's a scientist, but he does research in machine learning, statistics, and artificial intelligence.
Wow.
He's a genius. He's probably brilliant. He was a professor at MIT at one point. And so here's what I think is awesome. In 2016, Michael I. Jordan was identified as the most influential computer scientist.
Wow.
Period. Which I think is crazy.
I mean, if you are definitely top in your field for robotics, like, this is going to be a big deal as we go forward and closer to Skynet and the apocalypse. I mean, Michael Jordan seems like the guy.
Well, yeah.
You want to talk to.
Absolutely. And not just robotics, artificial intelligence. So he's going to know how the enemy thinks when the robot uprising happens and we're enslaved for the rest of time.
He's saying, like, I told you so right now.
He's listening to this podcast as we're recording it because he's hacked into both of our computers because he's a genius, and he's thinking they're so right. When the world is collapsing around them, they're going to run to me, and I'm going to say, you should have come to me earlier, and instead of buying number 23 Chicago Bulls jerseys, is what he's going to say. Another Michael Jordan I want to talk about is Michael H. Jordan. Michael H. Jordan was an American businessman, and he actually was a CEO of PepsiCo, the Westinghouse Electric Corporation, and also CBS. So this guy has been the big dog in several different corporations.
Wow. That's a lot of corporate heads to be. I mean, obviously, I'm sure he's jumped from place to place, but that's, you know, you have an electric company, you have PepsiCo, like, you have a lot of companies there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think just the variety of things that he's been involved in, he's one of those guys that I think for the field, if somebody said Michael Jordan in the business world, that's probably who you're going to think of, and maybe not necessarily Michael Jordan, the basketball player.
See that he was also a member of the President's Export Council under the Clinton administration and chairman to the
politician too.
I mean, he was definitely looked upon highly.
There you go. That's okay. That's Michael H. Jordan. There he is. So anyway, a couple other guys who are famous for their field, and I think maybe within their own kind of realm, might give Michael Jordan a run for his money as far as name recognition goes, which is interesting. So you want to dive into maybe a couple more in depth to talk about some of these people and who they were, what they were like.
Who do we got next?
Okay. Perfect. I want to talk about Michael Jordan, who was an Irish politician in like the 1920s. Have you ever heard of this guy, Michael Jordan,
no,
Irish politician?
I cannot say that I have.
Well, that's not surprising me, Adam, because he was an Irish politician who's a farmer. He ran in the 1922, 1923, and 1927 general elections in Ireland, and in all three of those, he lost. So he lost all three of those. So he, 1922, 1923, and in June of 1927, he runs for the general elections. And then September 1927, you know, props to this guy, lots of celebration because he was elected in 1927 in September as a farmer's party. And I'm going to butcher the Gaelic here, so forgive me, but Teachta Dála, I'm pretty sure is how you pronounce it, which is essentially part of the, you know, House of Commons, or like the lesser house of Irish Parliament.
Kudos to this guy, because honestly, you know, I don't know much about politics, but it seems like after being so unsuccessful for a while, you would stop running.
If you're in politics, what else? That's what you do. You do politics. So in 1927, he gets elected in the general election. And then he stood in as another candidate in the 1932 general election. But he was not reelected. So he probably wasn't, a very good politician. Took him a while to get there. Once he got there, tried to run for a different part of office, but was not reelected. So,
and to be running in this time, I mean, it says he ran with the Farmers Party. So I don't know what kind of platforms he would have said other than, you know, hey, don't move to Dublin. Everyone stay out in the countryside. But to just
come out of the country,
to just be done, I guess, hang up your hat after that election. Like, I'm not going to get reelected. I'm
go back to
go farm.
Go back to those potatoes, man. He's got to go grow those potatoes more, which that might be during the Irish potato famine. I'm not sure. So that might have been a really insensitive joke.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we'll live with it. We'll see. Okay, that's Michael Jordan, Irish politician. Maybe not necessarily should be recognized for his fame, but I think deserves a shout out here for his perseverance, his dedication, really just his ability to push through some hard circumstances and still not be reelected. Michael Jordan. Okay, do you have one for me?
Yeah, I have a few here. Going back into the sports section, we have a Michael Hakeem Jordan. And I like this guy because he is persistent, if nothing else. So Michael Hakeem Jordan originally went by Michael Jordan for most of his life, actually. When he went and tried to go into the NBA, which he never actually made it into the NBA, he started to include his second name in his title. That's where Michael Hakeem Jordan came from.
I see. So he's living proof of the fact that people do get tired of this and will change their name.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess if you're going in the same direction as, someone with your same name who's made, you know, way bigger of a splash, like, you're fighting against the current on that one. So
yeah, he's asking for it at that point. He really is. He's asking for people to associate him with the, frankly, better basketball player.
Yeah. And I mean, and they kind of played, he kind of came into the league a little bit later on. He started his basketball career at the University of Pennsylvania. That was from 99 to 2000. And so, I mean, he did come into the league a little after Michael Jordan, but still, like, having the same name, you just can't have that happen. So, unfortunately, he never really made it into the NBA. I mean, he tried out with the 76ers and the Celtics. But after that, so he went overseas to play ball. And this is kind of where his life gets a little bit more interesting. So he did play for a slew of teams, which all just have great names and even greater logos. One team that he played for was the Artland Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've never seen them, so they're based out of Germany. And their logo is just incredible. I mean, it's a you can please go look this up.
Adam, I've already pulled it up. I'm looking at it right now, and it's wild.
Yes, this dragon with flames out of the, like, it's the most German thing to have.
And also, like, just looking right at you, like staring you straight in the face and blowing flames, not out of his mouth, but out of each nostril.
Oh, yeah. Like, we can't have a normal dragon here. We got to go all the way. So he played for a few other teams as well, names that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But now he's a coach, apparently.
Looking at it, it looks like he's a coach at Colgate University. Also, as I'm looking here, it looks like he played basketball in Spain, Venezuela, France, Germany, obviously, and also Latvia, which if I don't know if there's any people in here that watch New Girl, but this dude is basically Winston from New Girl. That's like exactly what Winston's story is. Right? It is Latvia, right? Yeah. That Winston played for the Latvia.
Yeah, Latvia. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've always been very curious of people who go and play in these leagues and just get moved around. I mean, it seems like a fun life to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool...
It's just very strange.
Cool dude. It is very different. I think that's true.
Okay, so I got another one for you.
Okay, sweet.
Okay, so again, sports. We have Michael Jordan, but I think it's pronounced Michael Jordan.
Okay.
This is a Czechoslovakian professional ice hockey defenseman. He played in the NHL with the Carolina Hurricanes for like the 2008 season, I believe. And yeah, so he played with them for a while, and then he went over and played in what's known as the Continental Hockey League.
Okay.
And if you want to hear about the Continental Hockey League,
Adam, I would love to. Awesome. I want to hear about it so bad.
So the Continental Hockey League, it's basically the Russian Hockey League.
Yes.
It has 27 clubs from China, Finland, obviously Russia, Kazakhstan. So a bunch of the like Eastern European countries are involved here. They are the third highest average attended sport in Europe, with about 6,000 spectators per game. They're widely considered the premier hockey league of Europe and Asia, and second in the world behind NHL. So I always thought it would be like a Canadian league, but no, it's the Continental League.
I mean, it makes sense. Like Russia, Finland, Slovakia, like Latvia also. Mm-hmm. All these, all these guys that probably grew up skating on the ice to get like the firewood for their houses. I don't know. I'm probably messing up all kinds of horrible European stereotypes here.
Let me tell you about the president of the KHL.
Okay.
So his name is Dmitry Chernyshkinok. But I did not say that right.
Yeah, there's not a chance that was correct.
Chernyshkinok. There it is. Dmitry Chernyshkinok.
Well, that's probably better. I still doubt it's correct, but it's better probably.
Okay. Dmitry, as we'll call him, is a Russian businessman and was president of the Sochi 2014 Olympic organization.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, I'm pretty sure they were kicked out of because of...
No way.
Yeah, because of illegal, like, substance abuse and things like that. But now he's president of this league, so...
No, okay, so what you're telling me is that it looks like he was banned by the International Olympic Committee because of Russian doping, and that so, in response, they made him the president of this hockey league?
Yeah, which for me just is so backwards, but I guess in Russia, you know, if you get in trouble for one thing, you must be doing something good. So, yeah, they're just like, oh, we're going to give you the presidency over here. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it's Russia. So you get caught roiding up your gymnasts, et cetera. Come roid up our giant hockey players and have them smash each other into the ice and the glass and the other people.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, nothing sounds more terrifying than being in a Russian hockey league.
Oh, there's nothing that could be more terrifying.
I know. I personally love hockey. I mean, I'm a Nashville Predators fan. I love watching it. But you know, it's definitely not as violent as it used to be. And I feel like the Continental Hockey League is definitely probably just as aggressive as ever.
You gotta think. I mean, you gotta think. Okay, hang on. Can I cut in and make a fun connection really quick? I've been reading kind of as you've been talking.
Okay, let's hear it.
So here's where it gets fun. So Michael Jordan, MichaelJordan, right? Like not apostrophe, but A with an accent. This Michael Jordan, our Czech hockey friend.
Yeah.
So he played for the Carolina Hurricanes, and then he went on to play in the KHL, like we've talked about. He played for a team called Akbars Kazan, which, as a side note, kind of on the theme of that dragon mascot, if you go and look at the mascot of Akbars Kazan, it's like this awesome 90s crayon snow leopard. It looks like it's a 90s Fun Run thrift store t-shirt.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like a Fun Run for Russia.
Absolutely.
Run in the cold. Sack race is actually made out of potato sacks that they found.
Yes, probably potato sacks. So anyway, Akbars Kazan is who Michael Jordan played for. Now, The Continental Hockey League version of the Stanley Cup, what we would know as a Stanley Cup, is called the Gagarin Cup, which is awesome in and of itself. And whoever wins that is awarded the title of Champion of Russia, which is also awesome.
They have to have the coolest song for that, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's dope, and I'm sure that we're not allowed to listen to it as Americans, probably. But, so, this cup is given to, you know, the winner of this hockey league, and the most recent team to win is a team called SKA St. Petersburg. Obviously, hockey team out of St. Petersburg. So they won this Gagarin Cup last year, most recent winner. They also won the first Gagarin Cup in 2015, where they beat a team to win that cup, the Akbars Kazan. That's who they beat to win their first, the first time they ever won that cup, they beat Akbars Kazan, which might now, Michael Jordan wasn't on that team yet. He would be on that team in 2 years, but I thought that was a fun connection. Mm. Also shows us a little bit about, like, hey, if you want to be a bandwagon Continental Hockey League fan, get on that SKA St. Petersburg bandwagon because they're tearing it up, apparently.
That's awesome. That's cool. Do you got any more for us?
Oh, do I, Adam? I have my favorite one. I saved the best for last. I'm so I'm so excited about him. So there's another Michael Jordan who has nothing to do with any sport. Like, he's way outside the realm of sports. He is, quite frankly, better than the realm of sports, I think. His name is Michael Jordan, and he is also an Englishman. He is an English mycologist, which a mycologist is someone who they study fungus. So, like, mushrooms, fungus, that whole realm. This is Michael Jordan's playground. So he's an English mycologist, and he actually wrote a book called The Encyclopedia of Fungi of Britain and Europe.
I'll be honest, I could not think of a more boring title of a book.
I couldn't either, but it's we're going to ramp up real quick. So he wrote that book. He wrote a book called Edible Mushrooms and Other Fungi, but he also wrote a book called Mushroom Magic. Now, this is a book he wrote in 1989 called Mushroom Magic. Wink, wink. A very, you know, kind of overt reference to the fact that some mushrooms are psychotropic and then trip you out. So he wrote this book named Mushroom Magic. And then in 1989, also, not just with this book, he presented a documentary on Channel 4, which is a channel in Britain, also called Mushroom Magic. So he did this documentary on mushrooms, Mushroom Magic, talk about their psychotropic effects, all kinds of stuff. This led to him founding an association called the Association of British Fungal Groups, which is a terrible name.
Oh, man. It sounds like a foot thing.
It sounds like a foot. It sounds like lots of people gathering together to talk about their toe issues, is what it sounds like. And he founded this organization, this group, because after he kind of delivered his documentary, after this documentary series ran on Channel 4 in Britain, there was this big upsurge in interest for an activity that's called mushroom hunting. Okay. And there's a specific reason why it's called mushroom hunting. And it's not like mushroom gathering or mushroom finding. Like, it's mushroom hunting. Mushroom hunting is essentially the activity of going out into the woods and gathering mushrooms out in the wild. And generally what you're doing this for is so that you can go and eat them, right? Like, you go grab one of these mushrooms. So you take them home, you throw them in a stew, you can eat them, whatever. So it's popular in lots of Europe for what it looks like. It's popular in some parts of the United States. It's popular in Australia, Japan, various places. And it's literally just going out and, like, grabbing mushrooms and finding them, hunting them down and picking them up so that you can go eat them.
Do you identify them? Or do you just, like, pop them and eat them?
No, I mean, hopefully not. Like, I'm praying that you don't do that, which we'll get to that in a second, too. But you learn about mushrooms. Like, you learn what they are, you learn what they do, you learn how to tell them apart, and then you go grab them. But, like, I mean, it's like a cultural thing. There's festivals for this. There's some festivals in several places in the United States. Like, there's one in Colorado. There are a couple in Colorado, actually. There's one in Oregon. There's one in Alaska. There's one in Texas. So if you and I want to head over to Madisonville really quick, we can go stop by the Buc-ee's, and then we can go mushroom hunting, go to the
All
festival.
All these seem like places that would have mushroom hunting festivals.
Oh, totally. I mean, absolutely. Portland, Oregon, Alaska, totally the places where you would go and hunt mushrooms. Now, okay, so here's what you understand is that this is called mushroom hunting for a reason. Like I said, it's not just gathering, it's not just picking up. It is hunting because mushrooms are the most dangerous game. They really are, from what I can see. Because it's not just like psychotropic mushrooms, which is true. Like, you could go and grab some mushrooms and pop them in your mouth, and now you're tripping. And you gotta get away from all, you know, the wiggly men that are coming after you in the woods. Which, that's not in and of itself, that's not like necessarily a super desirable scenario to find yourself in. Is we're going to go out in the middle of the woods and then trip psychotropic mushrooms. First of all, this is an activity that you would take like your family to go do. It's a family activity. You take your little children out in the woods, as your little Eastern European children. You go out and you grab mushrooms and bring them home, toss them in the stroganoff or whatever else you're going to eat these mushrooms in. But here's the thing, is that mushrooms are dangerous. Like, there are some pretty dangerous mushrooms. First of all, you've got psychotropic mushrooms, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you go out in the woods, you eat these mushrooms, and now all of a sudden you're tripping, which being alone in the woods isn't necessarily like the best situation to find yourself in to go trip on shrooms. Like, you're going to be out there in the woods by yourself and try to get away from, you know, the wiggly men or whatever that are coming after
you. Or bears. There might be bears out there too.
Or bears that look like their faces are melting off. Like, you've got all kinds of issues here. But I mean, outside of just that, like, there are mushrooms that are really poisonous. Like, they're dangerous like for your body. This kind of encapsulates what I'm talking about. There is a Czech saying. When you translate it, what they're saying, they say is, every mushroom is edible, but some only once. So the idea is, like, you can go out, you can eat whatever mushrooms you want. Like, you can go for it, go to town, but like, you might only get one chance with some of them, because
that's great.
There's some that literally can kill you. There's some that, even if they don't kill you, they could cause permanent organ damage. There's like some mushrooms that are fine by themselves, but if you combine them, they're deadly. So, I mean, it's crazy.
There's so many things. Have you seen the Phantom Thread yet? The new
No, I haven't.
Paul Thomas Anderson film?
I need to. No, I haven't. I would love to.
Okay.
But
well, I'm not
going
to give anything away, but I will say that mushrooms play a weird part in this movie, and it's a very long part of what we're talking about right now.
Okay. Well, I got to go check it out then. Okay. So these mushrooms can kill you. Here's where it gets even nuttier, really crazier, is like, you really have to know your stuff, because there's like a section of mushrooms that they literally just call little brown mushrooms, because aside from the fact that they're little and they're brown, there's no real way to tell them apart. So you literally might just go out and be like, okay, I'm gonna grab some little brown mushrooms, grab them, and who knows what's gonna happen. You like really have to know your stuff. Like, you gotta be aware of what these mushrooms are, what they can do, what's going on with them. So
I just love that is like as scientific as it gets, is okay, these are called little brown mushrooms.
They're little brown mushrooms. But let me tell you something about mushrooms that I didn't know before I looked at Michael Jordan. So mushrooms, because of their mycelium, which is what you call the mushroom roots, which these roots are very widespread. There's lots of them. They exist pretty shallowly under the surface of the earth. Because of how widespread these are, because of how shallow these roots are, in Eastern Europe, mind you, mushrooms tend to be better at accumulating radioactive materials.
Oh my gosh.
In this part of the world where there have been numerous recorded nuclear disasters, aka Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Now these mushrooms literally might not just be poisonous, might not just be harmful to your organs. They might literally be radioactive.
Oh my gosh. I feel like if you see a glowing green mushroom, that's like a telltale sign. Like, don't pick that one.
But maybe that's like the holy grail for mushroom hunting. That's what I don't know. Like, that's what maybe that's what you're after. So like, it was an issue. It's a safety issue in Poland and Belarus and the Ukraine and Russia. Even in Western Europe, Germany itself, like for a while up until recently, the government of Germany like actively discouraged people from gathering some of these mushrooms. To the point where it's like this phenomenon is like it's an established kind of cultural joke in some Russian jokes.
That's
like,
funny.
It's
like the Tide Pod of Central Russia.
It's the Tide Pod of Central Russia, where if you can't get Tide Pods, just go grab some possibly radioactive, probably poisonous, one chance to taste it, mushrooms. I mean,
maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe radioactive mushrooms are just give you the best high that you could ever imagine.
Yeah, imagine going and getting a radioactive, psychotropic, organ-damaging mushroom. There, I mean, as far as thrill-seeking goes, I don't know if it gets much better than that. So anyway, all that to say, we did a deep dive into mushroom hunting because I think, number one, it's awesome. Number two, it's hilarious. And number three, we can thank Michael Jordan for kind of promoting the widespread fascination with going mushroom hunting. Yeah. So,
would you ever go mushroom hunting?
If I knew what I was doing, yeah, I think it'd be, I mean, yeah. I don't know that I necessarily see the draw more so than like going and picking flowers, but I mean, humanity has been a hunting gathering forever, so it makes sense, but.
Yeah, I love mushrooms, but I don't love them enough to mistakenly die on one.
I know, it's like not worth it to me, but for these mushroom hunters, like, that's it. That's what they live for. So
for sure.
Okay, so just so you know, everybody out there, if you want to see this in action, if you want to actually see what this Michael Jordan looks like, what he sounds like, if you go on YouTube, you can look up Mushroom Magic Channel 4. You can see part of the show. If you skip to like 30 seconds in, he starts talking about mushrooms, but also he literally talks about the dangers of eating mushrooms. So within 30 seconds of the show coming on, he's like, hey, this could be dangerous. So that's mushroom hunting. I think it's awesome. Radioactive mushrooms. Who knew? That's why we do this. That's why we look at these guys, look at these names and see what else we can find, what interesting things we can find about people who may not necessarily be the most well recognized version of their name, sure, but definitely need some discussion. So
I love all these. I mean, there's so many good Michael Jordans out there that have done a lot of things with their lives.
All right, Adam. So I'm going to ask you a question to kind of close this out. We know who the most famous Michael Jordan is, but my question is, any of these guys that we've seen so far, should they be the most famous Michael Jordan?
I feel like this is a hard question because Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. I mean, he is the GOAT. He is the best that there ever is. And so it is such, you know, a tall order. But if I were to go with any of these other ones, I really do like Michael I. Jordan, the American scientist's artificial intelligence guy. I mean, if you were to put these two side by side in a room, and I don't understand what room it would be to have both Michael Jordans in, probably some kind of fundraiser, but just to have these two guys talking, I feel like Michael Irwin Jordan is, he seems like a cool guy. He's got a lot going on.
Okay. That's hilarious. Cause I was thinking about what you're going to say. I did not think you were going to see Michael I. Jordan. And so I also chose Michael I. Jordan as sort of like my dark horse candidate, but okay. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. The British mycologist, Michael Jordan, love him. Love his work. Think it was brilliant. Love mushroom hunting. I think if you are a mushroom hunter,
but this guy's going to be so important, and I feel like as we go along, like he's just going to get more and more probably not prevalent. Like I don't think that, you know, even with the work that he's done, you know, I don't think that it's going to get well known. But I mean, I don't think that that's going to stop him from what he's doing.
No, not at all. And I think the fact that he even was named by people in his field as the most influential computer scientist, like,
yeah,
as far as the field goes, he is like recognized as being as influential as Michael Jordan is in basketball. However, I think for our own safety and our own well-being, we have to say he's the best and should be the most famous right now, so that when the robot uprising starts and my iPhone turns on me and tries killing my sleep, then I could say like, okay, you know, Michael Irwin, Jordan, what's up? It's me. It's Davis. Remember when we hyped you up on our podcast? You have to help me. You have to turn. You have to deactivate Skynet. Let me come to your fortress, your tech fortress that you
definitely
built.
Has. He definitely has
he's
already.
He's definitely got an underground techno fortress, which is that's a real thing that people make. They make tech fortresses, and he's got one, and it's the best one, and it's going to be the only safe place for me. Whenever the drones come, whenever the Falcon Heavy has gone rogue and is flying over everybody's heads,
there's Teslas falling everywhere,
dropping payloads of Teslas on ourselves. So, anyway, I'm with you. I think we gotta. If there is one who could be the most famous, I think it's Michael I. Jordan. But let's be real, MJ, the original MJ, his airness himself, he's the most famous, and that's just the way
it is. You just can't beat him. So that's going to do it for us here. If you want to submit your own famous name and tell us all about that, you can reach out to us at inawcast@gmail.com.
That's inawcast@gmail.com. That's right. Well, like Adam said, that's going to do it for us here today. Please, we really do want to hear from you. We want to hear your feedback. If you like the podcast, let us know. If there's anything we can do better, let us know. But we hope you enjoyed it.